The Spirit of the Lord is among us this morning. Amen? The door is open for someone this morning. Amen? Hey, I bring you greetings from Pastor Adam Lewis and the people of Decatur First Church of the Nazarene. They kicked me out for a Sunday and said, go over to Springfield and see if you can do something over there. And it's good of you guys to welcome me back again. It's been such a great honor and a privilege to be able to share with you. Now, I have to admit, this is what I always call this is Sleepy Sunday. The Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. Everybody is just like so worn out from visiting and eating and everything else, right? And so sometimes it's a little hard to keep the crowd engaged on this particular Sunday, but I'm going to do my best. And I want you to know there's already some drama and some tension. Because if you notice, I'm not dressed in normal preacher attire today. You know, these crazy Decatur people, sometimes we do some strange stuff. But I've got my Star Wars shirt on here today with a little Yoda action here. All right, come on. Yeah, thank you. Yep. And it says, do or do not, there is no try. Now, I am out on the limb this morning with Abby because she's not real sure. She's not real sure about this Star Wars stuff from the pulpit. And so what we got to find out this morning before this service is over is whether or not the old preacher can bring himself back in off the edge of the limb, okay? So stay with me on this. And I want to talk to us today. You know, also, you know, when you get to the last Sunday of the year, it's a time to just reflect. And I don't know about you, but God has been so amazingly good to me in 2019. So amazingly good. Way better than I deserve, amen? But you want to know something? I don't know, I'm one of those eternal optimists, and I think it's just because I believe the promises of God, that the best is always still in front of us. Always still in front of us, amen? And so as we get to enter into a brand new year, I'm expecting greater things from our Father, amen? I'm expecting greater things. So if we are still around here at the end of this 2020 coming up, we can stop and say this was the best year ever in the Lord for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, you know, when you get to New Year's, you make resolutions sometimes, right? You know, you want to lose weight, you want to look better, you want to get your finances in order, you may want to start a new career, start a new hobby. It's a great time to stop and evaluate your life and look at where you're at, see some areas where you need improvement, and take some action, right? Do or do not, right? Now, most of us, when we have resolutions, we start off strong. We go a week or two or maybe even a month. But by the time you get to Super Bowl Sunday, it's usually over, right? If we'll just be honest. All the exercise equipment's now back in the garage somewhere or down in the basement collecting dust. And anybody got, you don't have to confess this morning. But today, what I want us to think about and to focus in on, let's focus in on something that is vitally important. Seriously important in our lives, and that is our relationship with Christ. I want to talk to us this morning about contending for our faith. And if the Lord allows and the Lord wills, I'm scheduled to be back here in a few weeks here at the end of January, and we'll talk about contending for the lost and for people that we can reach out to and bring into the kingdom. But today, I want us to look at ourselves personally and contend for our own faith and our own soul, our own relationship with God. And so today I want to look to a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. And in this passage, Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem. He's stopping by just about every village and town on the way. And he's preaching and teaching and healing. He's doing what Jesus does. Amen? And we pick up this story at verse 22. It says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the master of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. This is Jesus dealing with some heavy-duty stuff right here. Amen? This is the bottom line. This is the most important thing. This is the number one thing in our lives and our relationship with Christ. Somebody from the crowd says, hey, Jesus, are only a few people going to be saved? And we're not real clear what the motivation is of the person who asked. That person may have been one who thought, hey, I am on the inside of this thing. And isn't it special to be on the inside of this thing? And Lord, is this really an elite group, an elite company of people? Am I part of something that is just special to me and a few chosen others? And I love how Jesus answers. He does not answer the question directly, but he answers the question correctly. He says, the only thing that matters, listener, friend of mine, he says, is you need to make every effort to enter in through that narrow door, because many, I tell you, are going to try to enter that door and they won't make it. They won't make it. And so he's putting us on notice this morning. We need to consider our own salvation. We need to consider the condition of our own soul. We need to do a little checkup of our spirituality today. Amen? Now, you know, Jesus goes on to draw this metaphorical picture. He says, listen, there's going to come a time where this door of opportunity of salvation is going to be closed. On Judgment Day, at the great feast, when all of those who have become Christians and become part of God's family are going to be on the inside feasting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets and the apostles and all the saints of God that have gone before. He says, but if you don't get through that door, you're going to be on the outside of that thing looking in. And you're going to knock on the door and say, Jesus, hey, let me in. Hey, listen. Hey, Jesus. You know, I mean, I went to Springfield First. I mean, I was a member of the church. I sang in the praise band. I did a lot of good things. I taught Sunday school. I worked in the nursery. Oh, bless your heart. He said, I did a lot of good things. I did good things for people, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't know you. And I don't know where you're from. But Jesus. And notice there is no opening of that door once it's closed. And so what I want us to look at this morning is a couple of things. I want us to look at this narrow door of salvation that is open to us. I want to look at what it takes to get through that door successfully. And then I want to talk about the obstacles and the enemies that are in our way that would keep us from going through that door. Amen? And I want to start with this. Thank God there is a narrow door. Thank God there is salvation. There is a way out of our sinfulness, our brokenness, our past, our diseases, our addictions. There is a way out. Amen? And we should be glad about that. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, this narrow door, I want us to look at another passage of Scripture to really kind of explain the narrow door a little bit better. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23, we learn a little bit more about this narrow door that's been opened to us. Hebrews chapter 10, here it is, beginning verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen? He who promised is faithful. Now, this open door that Jesus talks about, this narrow door, this is, we're talking about the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews says that a new and living way has been opened for us through the curtain, which is his body. Talking about how that Jesus, when he died on the cross, opened up the possibility of salvation for all who will believe. Praise be to his name. There is salvation for all who will enter that narrow door by the blood of Jesus. And when we enter into that door, when we come to the Lord Jesus and we put our faith and trust in him, and we make a commitment to turn from our old ways, we find escape. Always think about this. Wherever there's a door, you're walking out of something and you're walking into something. And when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we're walking out of our past, we're walking out of our sins, we're walking out of the darkness that has held us bound for so long, we're walking out of something that's really not all that great into something brand new. Amen? And thanks be to God for that narrow door, that there is deliverance, that there is forgiveness. And then when you walk through a door, you're walking out of something into something. And this narrow door that's been opened to us through the blood of Jesus is an escape from our sins, but it's an entrance into eternal life. It's an entrance into a life of blessedness. It's entrance into a relationship with the Father himself. Amen? And sometimes, you know, this whole idea and thought about becoming a Christian, putting your faith in Jesus, can be a little scary. Because God is calling us to come out of everything that we've ever known, to walk into something that we don't know, a life of faith, a life of trust. And that can be very scary. But I want us to understand this morning, on the other side of that door are the arms of a loving Father who cares for us, who desires us, who wants to have relationship with us. There's a new song that's just, I mean, any of you guys, you know, you get new songs and you just love them. You play them over and over and over and over again, right? And I got a new one right now. It's a Run to the Father by Cody Carnes. And I love the chorus of that song. He says, I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Amen. When we walk through that door, we're walking into the arms of a loving Father, one who is there to help us and to lift us up when we are fallen. He's there to heal us and to restore us. He's not there to condemn us, amen? Because when we walk through the blood of Jesus, the condemnation has been taken away. Somebody ought to be excited about that, amen? Hallelujah. And because we have this great high priest over the house of God, who is Jesus, stands in the presence of the Father, he's pleading our case for us. Aren't you glad for that? Because Jesus is where he is and has done what he has done, there is nobody on this earth that can shut that door in your face. It doesn't matter what labels the world puts on you. It doesn't matter the negative things that people have spoken against you in your life. They don't matter. The only thing that matters is that Jesus died for you, that God loves you, and if you'll walk through that door, you will find forgiveness and deliverance and healing. Amen? Praise be to God. And so it doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter even what your own, sometimes even our own conscience will condemn us. Sometimes we're haunted by the things that we've done in the past. The regrets that we have for the sins and the things that we did. And there are a lot of things that we've done, that I've done, that are regrettable. That weren't good. That caused a lot of hurt for me and others. But you want to know something? When you walk through that blood of Jesus, we are sprinkled by that blood. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. And the sprinkling of the blood cleanses our consciences. Amen? Doesn't mean we don't remember what happened, but it means that the power of the past no longer has the power to determine our future. Ooh, somebody ought to be happy about that too. Amen. Praise God. See, I'm an old ghetto preacher, man. I'm used to people talking back to me. So you're not going to hurt me if you say amen once in a while or smile at me or wave or run the aisles. You're okay with me, okay? But I'm telling you, my friends, this door of salvation that's been opened to us is a precious thing. Let's not miss it. Amen? Let's not miss it. All right, so we got this narrow door. And Jesus says something here back in Luke, and it's really the main part of the passage. In verse 24, he says, make every effort to go through that door. And the word there in Greek, the verb there in Greek is agonizomai. It is the word from which we get the English word agonize. It means to fight, to strive, to put everything you've got into it. Jesus says you've got to put everything you've got into going through this narrow door of salvation. And this door is narrow. It's narrow, and in Greek it's stenos, and stenos is from the root word sten, which means small, narrow, constricted. There is not a broad way to heaven, my brothers and sisters. There's a narrow way to heaven. And this narrow way that we're talking about means that we have to come to God on His terms, not on ours. And my friends, there's way too much going on in the church these days where we're trying to fit God into our terms. We're trying to get God to be our great divine sugar daddy, to bless us and to give us everything that we want, the way that we want, to make us successful and happy in life, right? Well, that ain't what it's about. Amen? That ain't what it's about. It's about us coming to Him on His terms and going through that door and walking into a life that we can't even hope, think about, or imagine. Amen? Oh, my friends, don't limit yourself by having some worldly dreams that you hope God is just going to sprinkle some blessing upon. Forget all of that. Leave that behind. Go through the door. Hallelujah. And so, who then is going to be saved? Who will go through that door? The first thing we got to do, my friends, to go through that door is we have to engage the gospel. We have to engage it. You know, so many people don't think about this stuff. They don't think about salvation. They don't think about God. They don't think about the church. They don't think about the Bible. And if they do, they have negative thoughts about it. Am I right about that? But the first thing we've got to do if we're going to walk through the door is we have to engage the gospel. We have to get into this word and get in touch with what the Lord says. And I challenge you, listen, maybe you say, well, preacher, I'm just here today. I'm visiting. I'm not really a Christian. You know, a lot of you Christians are kind of weird and you do weird things. And I'm not even sure I even want to be any part of this thing. And you know what? I agree with you. Well, a lot of us really are just weird. And we do a lot of weird things and say weird stuff, okay? But I want to tell you something. This open door of salvation is open to you, even if you've never been in church before in your life. And I would challenge you, learn it from Him directly. I would challenge you, even in these next few weeks here in January, get yourself a Bible if you don't have one, or get a Bible app on your phone, and just read the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books. Just start in there and just start reading the words of Jesus and the actions of Jesus. And just continue reading that and allow the Spirit of Jesus to speak to you, to lead you, to show you that open door. And then when He shows you the open door, let Him give you the faith and strength to walk through it. Amen? And my friends, listen, this isn't optional. I know the world and the devil would have you to believe that everybody goes to heaven when they die. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. If everybody goes to heaven when they die, why are we here? Other than that, the coffee and the goodies are really good. Amen? And the fellowship is awesome. And the music is really good. And the preaching, eh. But if there is no heaven to gain and a hell to shun, why are we here? But there is. There is. Jesus said this, John chapter 3, verse 3, He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. And that's code language for going through that narrow door. Amen? He goes on in chapter 3 of John, He says, for God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that if you will believe in him and what he has done for you, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting, eternal life forever and ever, starting right now and all the way into eternity. Amen? This is the gospel that we preach. This is the message that we have been given. But have we walked through the door? Listen, it is possible for us to grow up in the church, to stay in the church our whole lives, and to know that there is a door, and to know where it is, and to know what it takes to go through the door. But that's not the same thing as going through the door. This isn't a matter of knowledge. It is a matter of obedience and faith and trust. Amen? And so not only must we engage the gospel, we need to embrace the gifts of God to help us get through that door. Because here's the truth. God has provided this door for us in Christ Jesus through the cross. But if I'm going to get through that door, God has got to help me. Because I do not have the strength within my own natural self to go through that door. Not only do I not have the strength, I don't have the inclination. Because my brothers and sisters, one of the things you come to figure out when you get close to God and you get close to making that decision to become a Christian and walk with him is you understand that the old life has to go. And the problem we have is that we love too much of the old life. We love our sins too much to be willing to give them up to walk through the door. And we need the divine help of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to energize us, to convince us, to convict us, to change our want to. Did you know that human beings do what they want to? And did you know in this divine conspiracy that God has cooked up through Jesus is that he is working to get on the inside of you and change your want to? To get you to the place to where you want to serve him. You want to go through the door. You want to do the things that are holy, right, and good. And you no longer want to do the things that are wrong and the things that are breaking your heart and the lives of the people around you. He wants to change your want to, and he needs to. It's called grace. It's called grace. Embrace the grace, my friends. Embrace the grace. But more than that, sometimes we just can't believe that this could be possible. Sometimes we just don't even believe that God could forgive a sinner like me after what I have done and the hurt that I've caused. There's no way he could forgive me. And we need faith to believe. Did you know that the very faith that we use to put our faith and trust in Jesus is itself a gift from God? Don't believe me? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this faith, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." You see, we can't be good enough. We can't be smart enough. We can't be strong enough. We can't do enough good deeds to counteract the stuff that we've done wrong in the past. No, we have to embrace the grace and receive the gift of saving faith and walk through the door. Amen? In order to be saved. And then we must obey the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, we're not in this thing alone. From before you and I were born, God has had this whole thing cooked up, planned out, and he's put it all in motion. And his Spirit is at work in this world, convincing people like you and me of our sins and of the truth of the gospel, and leading us and wooing us to the cross and bringing us to that place where we will walk through the door. His Spirit is there, leading us, guiding us, speaking to us. The question is, am I listening to the Spirit? My friends, if you want to be saved and know for sure you are saved, get alone in prayer. Call upon the Spirit of Jesus and ask him, "Lord, is there anything in me that's wrong? Am I going the wrong direction? Is my heart and soul where it needs to be? Holy Spirit, show me myself." And you want to know something? He will show you. Because it is his task, his job, his passion to bring you to the Father through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, and once we have tuned our minds and our hearts into the Holy Spirit, we need to continue to make that a habit in our lives. Paul tells us in Galatians, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit every day. You say, well, preacher, I went through that door of salvation back in 1957. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are you still walking in the Spirit? Are you still walking in the glory of His presence? Are you still walking in the wonder of this amazing life that He's called you to? Or have things kind of got a little stale? Have we kind of lost the luster a little bit of our relationship with Christ? That's what I'm challenging you to think about today, my friends, as we go into a new year. Let's not lose the romance. And how do we rekindle it? You go back and you do the things you did at first. You call upon the name of the Lord. You allow the Spirit to search your heart. And you obey the voice of the Spirit. Amen? Obey the voice of the Spirit. All right. Now, Jesus says you need to make every effort. You need to strive, put everything you've got into it to make it through that door into eternal life, into salvation. And it's a narrow door, which means we had to meet His conditions, which we have talked about. Faith, obedience, trusting the gospel. But it also implies, when He says there is this narrow door, this narrow way into salvation, it implies that there are enemies that are trying to keep us from going through that door. And I don't know if you know this or not. Most of you do. Maybe you've forgotten. But I'm here to remind you. You have an enemy in the spirit realm. Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. There is a devil in hell. There is a spirit who is against you and against God and against the things of God. Amen. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He disguises himself as the party guy, the good times. Amen. He disguises himself in the forms of pleasure. Because if there were no pleasures in sin, nobody'd be doing it. Amen. But you have an enemy who stands against you. And why does he stand against you? It's not personal with you. He doesn't care about you. He hates God with everything within him. And he hates the things that God loves. And God loves you. And because God loves you and has set his heart on having your soul and having your heart to be his, the devil is out to make sure that doesn't happen. Amen? We have an adversary. He is our accuser in the courts of divine justice. Amen? He speaks against us in the presence of God. And he also is the discourager in chief who whispers in our ears in the quiet of the night when we are alone, when we're all by ourselves, when we're feeling sorry for ourselves. The devil's always the first one to show up at a pity party. When you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're feeling down about yourself, you're speaking negatively to yourself about yourself, the devil is right there to affirm you in your negativity. You might say to yourself, I'm no good. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to get anywhere. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody even cares if I live or die. And the devil's right there. That's right. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares if you live or die. You're never going to make it. Just give up. Just give up. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, the devil is a liar. God loves you. The door of salvation is open to you. But you have to recognize the influence of the enemy and the way he is trying to turn you away from God and turn you away from his gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must contend with the devil. And we can. And we can be successful in it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, verse 8. Sorry, my middle-aged eyes are jumping here a little bit. It says in the scripture, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He's looking for somebody. And in James 4, 7, it says, resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. He will flee from you. The devil has no power over you unless you give in and listen to his deception. But when you recognize that the devil is speaking into your life, stand up, open your mouth, and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. You say, you sound like a crazy old Pentecostal preacher. I don't know about that, but I know that it works. And I don't care. Amen. I'm going to get through that door. And if I got to rebuke everything, white, right side, left side, in front of me, behind, I'm going to rebuke it all. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I am crazy. Not only must we contend with the devil, but we got to contend with his army. The devil has an army. Now, we know there's evil spirits and all that kind of stuff in the world, and we got to contend with them as well. But did you know that the world itself is under the sway and the influence of the wicked one? Don't believe me? Here's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says to those Christians, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Did you know that popular culture is under the control of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who is the devil? That he has his fingers in everything. Everything in pop culture. Now, does that mean that we need to become monks and go live in a cave? Hey, if that's what it takes for you to get through the narrow door, go ahead. Amen? But there's a better way. It's called the Spirit of the Lord that lives with us. And by the Holy Spirit, he will help us be able to discern truth from error. And when the world is putting out its view of things, which sounds good and is popular with everybody else, be mindful of the Spirit, because the Spirit will show you the error of the ways of the world. Amen? And do not follow those ways. Hallelujah! And so we got to contend with it. We got to contend with it. One more enemy we need to contend with if we're going to get through that door. We know we got an adversary. We know he's got an army. But he also has a traitor within us. A traitor within us. Paul went on in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, and he said, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, our flesh, and following its desires and its thoughts. And my friends, we all have a sin nature that we were born with. Amen? This flesh that we have to contend with. And my friends, let me tell you something. The greatest battle you're going to have, listen, the devil, when he comes against you, you recognize that pretty fast, you rebuke him. Amen? And in the world, when you see the direction it's going, you, as a Christian, you pick up on that pretty fast, the direction that it's going. You know it isn't right. But sometimes we are not very good at picking up our own self-deceptions, the cravings of the flesh, the cravings of our selfishness. Amen? And we need to draw in closer to the Spirit of the Lord and ask him to show us our heart, to make sure that inner man has been cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That we're not allowing those fleshly desires to lead us away from the door of salvation, to lead us to self-destruction. Ooh, I might be preaching now. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want you to remember what we saw a minute ago when we talked about the gifts of God that lead us through the door of salvation, the grace of God and the faith that he gives us to walk through the door. It is that same grace and that same faith, which are his gifts, that we must exercise to conquer our own flesh and our own fleshly desires. Amen? Romans chapter 8. My brothers, we have an obligation, but it is no longer to the flesh to obey its desires. Instead, we are to walk in step with the Spirit, and by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body so that we may live. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you sound like one of them old crazy old holiness preachers or something. I am crazy. And my friends, if there's anything that we need more in the church today, it's for the people of God like you and me to get on our faces before God, to ask the Holy Spirit to search our souls and to show us our ways and to come clean before God? You see, it's real easy to look religious in an age such as ours. People are so wicked, so depraved, so messed up, you don't have to be very religious to look better than they do. But they are not the standard. Amen? Jesus is the standard. And let's continue to press into this thing. We got to continue to press in. And so, all right, so he said, where does Yoda come in?
Okay.
Because if I don't wrap this thing up and bring it to a successful conclusion, I'm going to be in trouble with Abby. And I don't want to be in trouble with Abby. Amen? Okay. None of you do either, do you? I know you don't. And it's not because, it's just because she's Abby. She's such an amazing, godly woman and mother of the church and somebody that we all love and admire and appreciate. We don't want to disappoint her. Amen? Am I right about that? And praise God. God, raise up more mothers in the church. And you younger ladies, aspire to be a mother in Israel. Amen? You younger men, aspire to be godly men. Amen? Hallelujah. Anyway, hey, that's just on the side. And not only that, I'm at least trying to grease the skids in case I fail. Right? Amen. But anyway, there's this scene in The Empire Strikes Back, all right? Luke Skywalker is on Dagobah being trained by the Jedi Master Yoda. Remember that? And so Yoda's trying to train Luke, and it's not going real well. And in the course of time, Luke's ship, his spaceship, sinks in the swamp. And is buried in the water. And Luke's like, how am I ever going to get out of here? There's no way I could ever. It's impossible. And Yoda's like, you just always think everything's impossible, don't you? It's not impossible if you know the gifts. Amen? And so, anyway, you know, Luke has been lifting up rocks by the Force, right? And Luke's like, you know, lifting up rocks is one thing. Lifting up that spaceship is another. And Yoda's like, no! It's not different. It's only different in your mind. And so Luke says, okay, I'm going to try to get my ship up out of the water. And Yoda looks at him and says, no, do or do not. There is no try. You either do it or you don't do it. And of course, Luke fails, right? And then Yoda lifts that thing out and sets it down. And Luke's like, I don't believe it. And Yoda looks at him and says, that is why you fail. You don't believe. All right, what's that got to do with this sermon? It's got a lot to do with it. Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow door into eternal life. And my friends, you don't get any points for trying and failing. He says there's going to be many on that day that will be knocking on that door and say, Lord, let me in. And Jesus said, listen, I don't know you. I don't know where you came from. You tried, but you didn't make it. My friends, we cannot get this wrong. We cannot get this wrong. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. We have to get through that door. We have to be. We've got to put our faith and trust in Jesus. We've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. We've got to follow him all the days of our life and into eternity. Amen? This is what it's all about. And so, hey, listen, we've all got friends and loved ones that are lost, and we want to see them found, but let's get ourselves found first. Amen? Let's make sure that we're in that door. We don't want to be among those on that day who say, hey, Jesus. He's like, I don't know you. I want him to know me. And there is nothing in this world, no persons in this world, no devil in hell that can keep me from knowing the Lord Jesus. I'm the only one that can mess that up. Amen? And so, my friends, I encourage you and challenge you this morning as we go into this new year. Let the Spirit of God look into your heart. And let him lead you into the paths of life everlasting. Well, after preaching a message like this, I would be a derelict in my duty if I didn't give you an opportunity to pray. Amen? And so we're going to stand together and we're going to pray. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, if you want to make this commitment to him in 2020 that you're going to seek him afresh and anew, or maybe for the very first time, as the worship team comes and they're going to play, We're going to pray, and the altar is open. And remember, it's always about just you and Jesus. This isn't about you and me and the church, right? It's about you and the Lord. And let's make sure that we are where we need to be with him this morning. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this open door of salvation. Lord, we don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But you, because of your great love, came down from heaven, became one of us, gave your life for us on the cross, and opened up for us this door of salvation, this possibility to be delivered from our old ways and our old life, to be delivered from the past. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, as we all stand here in your presence and we feel and sense that you have been with us today, that you're speaking to us today, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here who has never walked through that door of salvation, may this be the morning. May this be the moment, Lord, when they make that decision for you and they come to you in faith and in trust and obedience and give their all to you, Lord Jesus, that you might deliver them and bring them into a brand new life. And for all, Lord, who have walked through that door and have walked with you, some for many years, may this be a day where we stop, and a season where we stop and look at ourselves and examine ourselves to see whether or not we are still in the faith, because that's the only thing that matters. No worldly success, no earthly pleasure, none of those things, Lord, compare to the importance of knowing that our soul is right with our Savior. And so, Lord Jesus, today we know that it isn't a matter of trying, it's in a matter of doing or not doing. And what we must do, Lord, is say yes to you. Use that free will that you created us with to choose Christ and to choose life and to follow you along this path that you have for us, Father. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we love you, we thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Some are praying and they're going to lead us in song. Let's just worship the Lord today for his goodness, amen. Praise God.